In the days of the Gemara, they used to have two practices, whether they finished the cycle of Kriyas HaTorah once every year, like we have today. That was the practice in Bavel. And they had a Siyum every year on Simchas Torah. That minig began in Bavel, to have a Siyum on Simchas Torah. Or in Eretz Yisrael, they used to have a Siyum once every 3 years or so. Every parsha was divided into three parts, and every year they read one-third of a parsha. That's where there's so many more haftaras. They had to have at least three haftaras for any given parsha. So there's one haftara for the first third, one haftara for the second third, one haftara for the third third, and in Eretz Yisrael it took 3 years to make a siyum on the Kriyas HaTorah. So these were two different practices. The Rambam writes that today, the minhag ha-pashut, the minhag that's widespread minhag all over the world, is that we finish the whole Torah in 1 year. So by us, it works out very well that we lay in the Teuchecha in B'chul Kaisai, the second Shabbos before Shavuos, and we lay in the Teuchecha in Kisar, the second Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. So everything fits in well. But the Gemara says that this was a takana that was instituted by Ezra. Ezra made the takana to lay in the Teuchecha in Kisavai before Rosh Hashanah, and Teuchecha in B'chul Kaisai before Shavuos. So the question is, but if you have a 3-year cycle, it doesn't correspond. So some of the Mefarshim write, if you look in the Masechet Sofrim, and the regular standard editions of the Gemara, so I have in the bottom of the page, I have a commentary called Nachlos Yaakov. So he and other Achrayim have this suggestion. No, Parshas HaTeuchecha was like Parshas Zochar, like Parshas Bara. It was a separate kriya. We do it, we kill two birds with one stone. We learn Parshas Kisavai, it's the Parshas HaShavua, and that helps us make the siyum on the whole Chamishu Chamishu Torah when it comes Simchas Torah. And also Parshas Kisavai happens to be the Takanas Ezra, that we learn the Teuchecha and Kisavai, the second Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. But it's really a separate takana. In fact, some of them Farshim suggest, in order to answer a certain kasha, that even though Bizman HaTanoim, the practice was that the Kohen said the Bracha Shebacha Banu, and the last Olal HaTorah said the Bracha Shenasan Lanu, and the people in between didn't say any brachas at all, because they treated the whole Kriyas HaTorah as one unit. When it would be Parshas Kisavai, they would say a separate bracha before and after the parsha of the Teuchecha, because that's a separate kriya. There's one kriya parsha Sashavua, then there's another kriya of parsha Sateuchecha. So this week we are going to be fulfilling two different takanas. Parshas Kisavai begins with the dinim of Bikurim. There are two psukim. One pasuk in Mishpatim that reads Reishis Bikur Abbas Chatovi Beis Hashem Alakech L'Asilash Agdei B'Chalei V'Moi. That is the mitzvah of Havoas Bikurim, one of the 24 Matnas Kuhuna. And then in the beginning of Parshas Kisavai we have the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim, and the Rambam and many Rishonim counted as two distinct mitzvahs, a mitzvah of Havoas Bikurim and a mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. The Mishnah has that some people have the mitzvah of Havoas Bikurim, they don't have the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim, but these the Rambam counts them as two distinct mitzvahs. The Chumash says that the mitzvah only begins after Eretz Yisrael has the full kedusha. Ki sovel ha'aretz hashal kahana sulchan nachla v'yirishto v'yashavta bo. What does that mean? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara that this mitzvah of Bikurim, like all the mitzvahs of Trumas and Maisa, Shemitah v'yogel, only began the 15th year after they crossed over the Yarden in the days of Yishuv Binon. It took 7 years to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. That says in Novi, the Gemara in the end of Erech and Adaf Lamed Beis on Beis quotes. That's a Sukkim in Novi. Then the Gemara says we have an oral tradition, a historical tradition, that it took an additional 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael among the Shvatim, among the Mishpachas, and among the Yechidim. So the full Kedusha Soretz was not until after Kibush V'chiluk. That's what it means. V'yirishto v'yashavto bo. The full Kibush of Eretz Yisrael was when they did the Chalukah. When they did the Chalukah, that was the Gemara of the Kibush. So the kibush was the mikdash of Eretz Yisrael the first time around. The kedusha rishayna was accomplished through kibush. So the kibush wasn't considered completed till after 14 years, and then the 15th year was the first year when they started counting shemitah. So the first shemitah was the 21st year ever that they crossed over the Yarden, and the first year ever was the 64th year after they crossed over the Yarden. The first 14 years didn't count. Eretz Yisrael didn't have the full kedusha yet. So the mitzvah bikurim also only began after Kibush V'chiluk. Yesterday we learned the Tosfos in Sanhedrin Daf Dalet and Aleph. Tosfos quoted a Mishnah from Me'ilah. By mistake, they wrote that it's in Zvachim. It's a Mishnah Me'ilah Daf Yud Zayin that Isurim Aronim Mitztarfim Zeim Zeh. If it's Shmoseim Shavim and Shureim Shavim, it's not Shmoseim Shavim, then it's not Mitztarfim. You need half a Kazayis of Chazer and half a Kazayis of Pigel. So you're not like it. You paskin. You only like it if you eat half a gazayis of nivlas ha'oif and half a gazayis of nivlas behema. Okay, so that's all shem echad, even though they have a different taste, that's all called shem echad. So that Mishnah there in Me'ilah gives the following case. A person is not a kohen, he's a zar, and he eats truma, so that's a lav. A zar is not allowed to eat truma. So if he eats a quarter of a kazayis of truma, quarter kazayis of challah, quarter kazayis of bikurim, and a quarter of kazayis of maisa mina maisa, trumas maisa. So the Mishnah says that you like it, because that's all shem echad, that's all truma. There are 24 matnas kahuna, and four of them are all called truma, these four. Truma, bikurim, challah, and maisa mina maisa is also considered truma. So the bikurim is really a combination. It's a din of truma, it's only muta l'koyanim, also l'zar. And if the zar eats it, it's misa b'day shamayim. And if the zar eats it, b'shoigig, he has to give kerem v'choymesh. And what he gives, ha-tashlim, and that pacham li'os truma, when he has to give dava haroi l'eskodesh, can't make out a check, he can't give money, he has to give food. If he drank wine, that was truma, so he has to give wine. If he ate cookies, so he has to give that kind of grain, whatever it was. Chitim, or whatever, he has to give that min. When he gives it to the kohen, ha-tashlim, and that pacham li'os truma, converts to become truma. So the Avnei Nezer is a Chuvah Sefer that was written by Chassidus Rebbe, who passed away about 100 years ago, probably over 100 years ago, early 1900s. So it's a collection of Chuvahs. So he has a letter, which is not really a Chuvah Halacha L'maisa, it's a letter to a grandson of his, who raised this issue, that Bikurim really is a composite, it's a combination. It has a Kedushas Truma, that a Zara is not allowed to eat it, and there's Misa V'dei Shamayim, and so on. And it's Mamashem Echad with Truma, if you eat a quarter of a Gazayas of Truma, a quarter of a Gazayas of Bikurim, and so on. It's been Starfim, that's the Mishnah. And it also has the din like Maaser Sheni, can only eat it in Yerushalayim. Truma can be eaten all over Eretz Yisrael. Can eat Truma in Chutz Laaretz, because in Chutz Laaretz there's a Tumas as Eretz Amin. That's on the next daf in Sanhedrin, daf Dalet on the base. The Rabchiya saw a Koyin, who was roaming around in Chutz Laaretz, says, what are you doing here? The Adam are not allowed to live in Chutz Laaretz, because all of Chutz Laaretz was declared as one big cemetery. One big Beis HaKvaris because of the Meisei Mabul. The Mabul affected the whole world except for Eretz Yisrael. So we assume that there are dead bodies all over the place in the days of the Mabul. So that's why they were going to Tumas Eretz Amin. So the Bikurim is a combination of Meisei Sheni and Truma. It's Truma only a Kohen can eat it. A Zara is not allowed to eat it. Meisei Sheni can be eaten by a Zara also. But it has the status like Maaser Sheni can only eat it in Yerushalayim, can't eat it in Chutz Yerushalayim. So if a Zar eats Truma, if a Zar eats Bikurim, he's believed to be Mafresh Kerem V'Chaymesh, and HaTashlum and HaFachm Liyas Truma, if he ate it B'Shege, HaTashlum and HaFachm Liyas Truma, that's only Mitzad the Truma Shebo, it's not Mitzad the Maaser Sheni Shebo. So the grandson of the Avnei Nezer raised the question, would those Tashlum and Bikurim be allowed to be eaten in Chutz Yerushalayim? Because mitzad, the fact that it has an element like Dushas Maisusheni, there is no such din, that if a person ate by mistake Maisusheni when he wasn't allowed to, he has to give something in place, and the Tashlum and the Pachm Liyas Maisusheni, there is no such din. There's only a din in Truma like that. And maybe when you do Tashlum and Bikurim, maybe it only takes on the character of the Truma Shebi Bikurim, not the Maisusheni Shebi Bikurim. So the Avnei Nezer tries to fish around through all of Shas to find Rayas one way or the other. I don't think he finds any Rayas. It's a very interesting Shaila. The Mishnah says when you recite the Mikra Bikurim, so you say Arami Ovidovi. You look in the Chumash, it sounds like you start from before that. Ki tell the Kohen in Ehi Veis Yisrei, he got it to Yom L'Hashem Alakecho, ki bosi al ha'aretz. Ve'amakto Elov, he got it to Yom L'Hashem Alakecho. So how come the Mishnah only talks about Arami Avirovi? What happened to Higarati Hayom? So the Netziv has a suggestion. It's a Shaila Aloch HaLamayis. He suggests that maybe that pasuk Higarati Hayom, that was only a Hayru HaShoah for the Dor HaRishon who entered Eretz Yisrael. Those who came in after traveling in the Midbar 40 years, or those who were born in the Midbar, those who came in, said, they tell the kind, Higarati Hayom, Kibasi Al HaOretz. But today, people come to Eretz Yisrael, everybody today will start from Arami Avarabi. It won't start from Igarat Hayayam. The question is a very good one, and the answer is questionable. Is that the correct answer, Taka? That's only Hayru HaShoah, and it doesn't apply Bizman HaZeh. Maybe everybody should start with He gad teyam l'Hashem alakecha. That's what the Netziv suggests in his Sefer HaChumash. The Mishnah in Bikurim records a machlokes hatanaim, whether the mitzvah of Bikurim applies in all of Eretz Yisrael, even including Eva HaYarden. Eva HaYarden had a kedusha min haTorah. Moshe Rabbeinu was koyvish Eva HaYarden, he was mekadosh Eva HaYarden. Yehoshua ben Nun was koyvish Eretz Yisrael, he was mekadosh that. So there was a chiyuv to be mafrish trumas ha'maisus and shemitah v'yovel lekedushin chape. Everything was noig min haTorah and Eva HaYarden. And nonetheless, the Tanoim had a machlokes whether the mitzvah of Bikurim applies in Eva HaYarden or not. Why not? So the Yerushalmi has two explanations why. One is the way it says in the Mishnah, that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Eretz Avos Chola B'Dvash. Eretz Avos Chola B'Dvash is only a description of Eretz Yisrael proper, not on the east bank, not on the Eva HaYarden HaMizrachi. So one Tana is of the opinion that the whole mitzvah Bikurim only applies in Eretz Yisrael proper because Eva HaYarden cannot be described as Eretz Avos Chola B'Dvash. The other Tana says that wouldn't bother him so much. Maybe Eva HaYarden is also Eretz Avos Chola B'Dvash. That doesn't bother him. He says it's a different word. That you have to say in Eveses Reshis Priha Adom Hashem Asat Ali Hashem. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Eretz Yisrael. And the Eva HaYarden, the Rebbe Shalom, they really didn't give it to the Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Shevet HaMenashe. They requested it. The original plan was that all of Eretz, the Ramban HaChumash, all of Eretz was going to be divided in 12 parts, going from north to south. And everyone was going to get a sliver of Eretz Yisrael and a sliver of Eva HaYarden. And then the Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Shevet HaMenashe said, Mikne Rav Hoya, the Bnei Reuven and Gad. They had a lot of behemoths. So they said, instead of dividing everything across, why not give us a share in Eva HaYarden only, and we'll be mevatar on our chelek and Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu consulted HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was changed. So they can't really say with a straight face, Hashem Nasatali Hashem. It wasn't Nasatali. They requested of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Yishalmi raises the question, is there a difference between the one reason and the other reason? According to that Tan, according to the minority opinion, that there's no Havoaz Bikurim at all, you don't bring Bikurim from Eva HaYarden. Is there a difference? What reason you don't bring Bikurim? Is it because it lacks Zavas Chol HaVidrash, or because it's lacking Hadom HaShem HaSatali? So the Yishalmi says, yes, the difference is V'chatzi Shevet HaMenashe. Because if you read the Psukim there, in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, those who initially made the request of Moshe Rabbeinu was only Shevet Reuven and Gad. Chatzi Shevet HaMenashe didn't request anything. But after Chatzi Shevet HaMenashe saw that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving in to Reuven and Gad, so then he said, maybe we can also join along. So they, after the Baruch Hashem already agreed to give to Reuven and Gad, then Menashe jumped on the bandwagon. But originally they didn't request. So Yishami says that'll be the difference. If you say there's a lack of Eretz Avos Chola B'Dvash, so that applies to all of Eva HaYarden. But if you say that's not a problem, the only problem is Hashem Satali Hashem, so that wouldn't affect the Chatzi Shevet HaMenashe. Maisa
Hashem didn't give it to Chatzi HaMenashe either. They requested it just like we were in the
It's a good question. But that's what it says in the Yishami. Yishami points out that Chatzi Shevet HaMenashe was not the same as Reuven and Gad. They made the initial request, and Chatzi Shevet HaMenashe didn't make the initial request. That is called Hadam Hashem Asatali Hashem. It's interesting.
They requested it, Hashem still gave it to them.
Right. Okay. I don't know. I think we do bring Bikurim from Eva HaYarden, but the Gemara gives two explanations. The Yerushalmi gives two explanations for the Tana, for the minority opinion, that you don't. Then the Pasuk says, "Hishtach avisa lefnei Hashem alakech." When you bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, you should be mishtacha there. What kind of halacha is this? This is Paravoas Bikurim. So the Vilna Goyen, in his commentary on Mishnayis Bikurim, that's called that there is Aliyah printed in the back of the big Mishnayis. All of these commentaries were written by Talmidim of the Gra. The Vilna Goyen wrote on his own, he wrote the Biur on Shulchan Aruch. That's from his notebooks. And he wrote different Biurim on the Kabbalah Svar. But all the things they quote, those were written by his Talmidim. But they quote in his name, V'hishtach Avisa, Efnei Hashem Elokecha, is not a particular din in Hilchas Bikurim. It's a general din, kol ha-nechnosim lo azara. Whoever enters the azara for whatever purpose has to be mishtachabe before he leaves. So this is the mocker for all of the Mishnayis and Masechas Tamid. when it says they divided the Avodah Sayyam every day of the year, who's going to shech the Tom Shal Shachar, who's going to do Kabbalah Saddam, who's going to do Halacha Saddam, who's going to do Zrika Saddam, who's going to do Haktoris Emurim, who's going to carry the Emurim from here to there, who's going to carry from there to there, every step of the way. So they divided it up, they divided all the kibbutim among all of the Kohanim. So it says every Kohen, then who's going to do Haktoris, Haktoris, who's going to do Disha Mizbech Abdimi, and so on. They drew lots, they had a lottery for everything in the later period of the Bai Sheni. So the Mishnah says, after each Kohen, whatever he won, whatever schus to do a mitzvah he did, so it says, Hishtachva v'yotza, each one did Hishtachva and they left. So the Vilna Gaon is quoted as saying, what's the mocker for that? That everyone, kol anachnasim la'azara, have to do Hishtachva? He said he thinks that the mocker is this pasuk, that this is not a specific din in connection with Bikur. It's a general din, kol anachnasim la'azara, have to be Mishtachva before they leave. So that's why there's a problem. Those are Davin Nusach Ashkenaz on Yom Kippur. So the Ashkenaz, there's a piyut for the Seder Avodah, the Nusach Ashkenaz and the Nusach Sfar. So the Nusach Ashkenaz piyut has every step of the Avodah spelled out explicitly, and it never says he does Hishtachva. All day long the Kohen Gadol is on Yom Kippur. He's in the Beis HaMikdash, and he leaves, and it doesn't say a word of Hishtachva. And the Nusach Sfar piyut, it does say Hishtachva v'yotzeh. So going to Nusach Sfar is Necha, but going to Nusach Ashkenaz, that is the kasha. How can it be, if this is a universal din, kol anichnasim la'azara, after the Hishtachva, so why doesn't the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur after the Hishtachva? And the Mishnah is never said, all maseches yuma. Gives you every step of the Avodah, and it never says a word about Hishtachva. And in this Sfar, they added it on. So Rav Soloveitchik printed a Dvar Torah about this many years ago, 70 years ago. He had a Chiddush to explain the Nusach Ashkenaz, why there's no Hishtachva. There's another difference between the Nusach Ashkenaz and the Nusach Svard. That's a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. There's one point in the Seder Avodas Yom Kippurim, every single step of the way is covered by the Mishnayos and the Gemaras. When did he do this? When did he do that? The machlokes HaTanoim. All the Tanoim who had the debate, they all lived after the Churban Bayi Sheni, so they were never there. Never saw it. So the Adam Achlek is, what is it supposed to be? So there's one point that's never clearly mentioned in the Mishnah. When did they bring the Tomit Shel Bein Arbayim? The Avodah Yom Kippur was done in five units. First, the Kohen Gadol does Avodah in Big Dezov. All year long uniform that the Kohen Gadol wears, Lishmein and Begadim. Then he takes off the Big Dezov, does Avodah Big Dezovan. Then the middle Avodah is Big Dezov, then Big Dezovan. The last Avodah is Big Dezov. So it's unclear when does he bring the Tomit Shel Bein Arbayim. Not spelled out. That's not like it's Rashi and the Rambam. So the Nusach Ashkenaz follows Rashi, and the Nusach Sfar follows the Rambam. When the Komet Shel Bein Arbayim was born. In the back of the Vilna Gemara, the Vilna Shas, they have the comments. Vilna Shas was printed the late 1800s in Vilna. So one of the Dayanim in Vilna at that time was Reb Shlomo of Vilna, Shlomo HaKohen. He and his brother were both Dayanim. Reb Tzal Vilna, Shlomo Vilna. Reb Shlomo of Vilna was one of the Magiim on the Vilna Shas. He corrected the galleys when they were printing it. His grandson, when I was a student here in high school, in yeshiva, his grandson was Rabbi Markelis. He used to teach here in the high school. And he said the family tradition has it that his grandfather, Rabbi Shlomo of Vilna, corrected the galleys from memory. He knew all the Gemara and the Rashi and the Tosfos by heart. He just checked on the galleys to see if it corresponded to what he remembered. He didn't look to check against another Gemara. So that's what I add on, that once in a while there's a misprint in the Vilna Shas that doesn't appear in any other earlier edition. And the misprint is usually a mixer between a shin and a samach. Because the Litvaks mispronounce, they pronounce a shin like a samach. So every so often there's such a mistake that only appears in the Vilna Shas. The Litvish misprint, because he corrected the galleys from his memory. So in the back of every Mesichta you have Ha'oris that's called Cheshek Shloimai. Once in a while he will write why he put a word in parentheses. Why put the other word in brackets? He was the Magia. He was the one who touched up the galleys for the Vilna Shas. He's the one who put things in parentheses and put it in the brackets, into the Gemara, into the Tosfos, and so on. So he has a suggestion about this, Machlokes Rashi and the Rama. He has a suggestion. He says, maybe they're both wrong. Maybe there's no chok when you bring the Tomash Shel Bein Arbayim. You don't always bring it the third unit, you don't always bring it the fifth unit. The Mishnah says in Pesachim, the Tom Shel Bein Arbayim was brought every day of the year, with a few exceptions to the rule, between 2:30 and 3:30. So he says, if the Kohen Gadol is a young guy and he's running, and the piyut it says ruts, he's always running on Yom Kippur. He has to finish all of the Avodah. The Kohen Gadol has to do everything on Yom Kippur. So if he's running and he's young and he's healthy and he's able, so he's going to get, he'll finish all the Avodah, and by the time it's going to be 2:30, it'll be the fifth unit of Avodah. But if he's an old man, it's going to take him a long time. So it's going to be 2:30 when he's in the middle of the third unit of Avodah. When the clock strikes 2:30, that's when he brings it. Why should Rashi and the Rambam hold that it's always either in the third unit or the fifth unit of the Avodah Yom Kippurim? It should be governed with the Mishnah and Pesachim that Tamash Ben Adam is always brought at 2:30. So whenever 2:30, whenever the clock strikes 2:30, that's when he brings. Okay, also entitled to an opinion. But that's the other difference, the two differences between Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Svard and the Seder Avodah Yom Kippur. The one difference is whether Hishtachava, the Nusach Svard has Hishtachava, the Nusach Ashkenaz is a Tzorach Biur. Why don't you? Why shouldn't you have Hishtachava? So Rav Soloveitchik has a whole Dvar Torah, that's printed. And the other difference is, when was the Tomen Shel Bein Ha'abayim brought? Was it brought in the third unit of Avodah, or it was brought with Big Day Zoh? Well, was it the third unit or the fifth unit? So that's a machlok is Rashi and the Rambam. So Nusach Svard follows the Rambam. Nusach Ashkenaz follows Rashi.
Who said what?
I forgot. Got to look in the Cheshek Shleim at the end of Yuma. The very end of Yuma. I forgot who says which way. Next parsha you have in the Chumash after Bikurim is the parsha of Biur HaMaisris. There's a 7 year, there's a unit of 7 years. Every seventh year is Shemitah. And then the first 6 years of the Shemitah cycle are subdivided between two units of three. So the first and the second year, Yemafish Truma Gedolah, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, and the third year, Yemafish Maaser Oni. Then the fourth and fifth and the sixth years, I repeat that the first and second and the third years. Fourth and the fifth years, Yemafish Truma Gedolah, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. And the sixth year, Yemafish Maaser Oni. And then the seventh year is Shemitah, Hefker, everything is Hefker. So you're not Mafish anything. You're not chayv to be Mafish Truma Samaisis on something that's Hefker. That's a machlekes. Does it become hefka automatically? That was a machlekes between the Beis Yosef and the Mabit, who was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef. They were together on the Bezdin in Svat. So the Beis Yosef held that it doesn't become hefka unless the farmer is mafkerit. If he's a Jewish farmer, he has a mitzvah to be mafkerit. That's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. At least tish metenu unetashto. The farmer should be mafkerit. The Mabit understood, no, that the hefka is chal automatically. It's an afkaita de malka. So the Beis Yosef held that if the owner of the farm is Jewish, he has a mitzvah to be mafker. If the owner of the farm is not Jewish, if a non-Jew owns a farm in Eretz Yisrael, he does not have a mitzvah to be mafker. He's not mafker. So maybe it is chayv in Shum Samaisus. Whatever the din is, if that tzvua that grows beside the Shal Nachrim, that's a machlokes hatanaim. In the end of Perek HaShaleach, the last daf in Gittin, Perek HaShaleach, where the Yesh Kinyan and Nachri of Eretz Yisrael, mafkiyam yad Shum Samaisus. If a non-Jew owns a farm in Eretz Yisrael, it belongs to him, and Dini Mammon is, does he cancel the obligation to be Mafrish, Trumas, and Maisis? We paskin, no, it does not cancel. So Tavua that grows during Shnas HaShemitah in Eretz Yisrael on a farm owned by a non-Jew, what they call Yevul Nochri, grew on a farm that belongs to a non-Jew, would be Chayv in Trumas and Maisis because it's not Hefka. According to the Mabit, it would be Hefka automatically. Mabit thinks that everything is Hefka. Mabit thinks even what grows on the farm of a non-Jew has Kedusha's favorite Shavias, as a restriction of liyochla v'lol hepsid, you're not allowed to throw it out. The Beis Yosef holds not so. Beis Yosef interprets a passage in the Sifra, being in Parshas Bahar, that Kedusha's perishviyas only applies to peris that grew in the Sodah Shal Yisroel. The grew in the Sodah Shal Nochri, there's no Kedusha's perishviyas. And the Nochri is not mechuyev to be mafkerit, so it's not open, so it's not up for grabs to the public. So the Torah has the mitzvah of Biur HaMaisris. Let's say somebody was mafrish Maisr Sheni, and he didn't need it yet. He's saving it, or he's mafish maiserani, didn't give it away yet. So you have to give everything away by Erev Pesach of the fourth year and Erev Pesach of the seventh year. The Torah gives you a half a year. After the 3 years are up, first unit of 3 years, the Torah gives you a half a year to give everything away. And then again, after the 4, 5, and 6 years are up, then the Torah gives you another half a year till Erev Pesach. And then you recite Vidui Maisa. Why is it called Vidui? Vidui, usually you admit that you did an aver. Here he says, I did everything right. The Arti HaKodesh Menabais, I gave everything away. So that's a famous question that Taisi Zyantam HaMishnayis raises that question. Why is it called Vidui Maisa? The same thing, some have the Girsa and the Mishnayis, Vidui Bikurim. We, the Bikurim, at least makes a little sense. We say, Arami Avirava, Yer Mitzrayma. We are embarrassed a little bit about our ancestors. But also, why do you call a Vido? It's not really a Vido. So that's a question. What kind of a Lashon? But that's the mitzvah of Vido in Maisa, an Erev Pesach of the fourth year, and Erev Pesach of the seventh year. Amarta lefnei Hashem alakecha b'yarti ha-kodesh min ha-bayis. What does it mean, Amarta lefnei Hashem alakecha? In the presence of the Lord. Where is that, the presence of the Lord? So it's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, how to translate the words. I forgot who says which way, but one of them says, lefnei Hashem alakecha means in the Azara. Everybody, all the farmers have to come to the Azara on Erev Pesach, or sometime about then, of the 40 and the 70, and recite the Yarti HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The others say no. In New York, he said the Yarti HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It only applies if you have a farm in Eretz Yisrael, and you observed all the mitzvahs of Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you don't have a farm, or you do have a farm, but you violated the mitzvahs, then you don't say the Yarti HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you have a farm in Eretz Yisrael, and you have to recite this Vidui Maiser, so that's the machloikas. Can you recite it wherever you are? Is lifnei Hashem alkecha, like when you're davening, you're in the presence of the Lord. Lifnei Hashem alkecha. Maybe it doesn't have to be in Beis Hamikdash. It's an interesting. Should it be in a source in Tanoim, something? But the machloikas is the Rambam and the Ravid. That's the earliest source that we have. This is the whole mocker of the din that in oinen lo echalti bi oni mimena. I didn't eat the ma'aser sheni in the state of anina. So it's based on that that Aaron Hakohen made a kal v'chomer. When Moshe Rabbeinu asks him, "Vadu'ala achalta mesachatos b'mkoyim hakodesh? Why didn't you eat the chatos on the shmini l'miluim?" So Aaron said, "Well, it's a kal v'chomer. The madach ma'aser sheni hakal and oinen is not permitted to eat. It's a korbanos hachomer. Lekoshken v'nar l'arit." So Moshe Rabbeinu was maskim with him. So that's why in the Zohar they have an expression that Moshe Rabbeinu represents Torah shebichsev and Aaron Hakohen represents Torah shebalpeh. Because the Chumash records that Aaron made a kal v'chomer. He used the midas of the Torah about that. Many have the minig. This morning I davened downstairs in the Beis Medrash. The Balkori didn't follow this practice. But many shuls they have the minig that when the Balkori comes to the pasuk, Hashkifa, Mion Kotshechom, and Hashamayim, usually he says that louder. However loud he was laying until then, he raises his voice and he says that louder. Where does this minute come from? So this is based on the Mishnah. So the Mishnah say that when you say Arami Avid Avi, so you're saying things that are embarrassing to the Jewish people, that our ancestors were of the Avodah Zarah. M'tchili of the Avodah Zarah ha'y Avodah Zarah. Karvan ha'makam la'avodah su shenem Arami Avid Avi. So it's embarrassing. So this you can say out loud. But when you're bragging, B'yarti HaKodesh Ben Abayis, when you say Vida Maisa, it's not a Vida. You're not admitting that you did something wrong. You're bragging that you did everything correctly. I did everything the way you're supposed to. Gemara says that you shouldn't say Bikovram. That you should say Balachas. Till you get to the pasuk, Hashkifim Miyam Kotshecha. That you can say out loud. That's a tefillah. But the first few psukim in the Vidui Maaser, it's not right to say out loud. That should be said softly. So that's why there was such a meaning. When the Balkori comes to the pasuk, Hashkifim Miyam Kotshecha, he says it out loud, similar to the way the farmers would recite. That they would recite the Vida Maaser Belacha softly, and they would say Hashkifa. From that point on, they would say it out loud. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu instructs Bnei Yisrael. Tzav Moshe Bnei Yisrael Leimar, when they cross over the Yarden. V'chasavta aleim, they should take stones from the Yarden. V'chasavta aleim, kol dirate razois b'yavrecho. Then it says they should write ba'er heitek. They should write it b'shivim loshem. B'shivim loshem means that they should make it available for the umas olam. That's how the Gemara says in Soita, that they should. Usually we assume that you're not allowed to teach Torah to a non-Jew. So what do you do with this pasuk? That they translated everything shivim loshem, so the umas olam should be able to read it. So many say that Torah Shebichsav is mutter, the whole prohibition not to teach Torah to Anachri only goes on Torah Shebal Peh. Sviri Yesh has a discussion about this. Is it permissible to teach Talmud in a Goyish university where non-Jews may decide to attend the class? Yeah.
Why does the Gemara make it by Talmud and make a timeless when they translated there, but here we translated it
farther? I don't know. Maybe here they had Nazim. Tommy HaMelech was ready in the Baisheni period where there were no Nevim, there was no Ruach HaKodesh. I don't know, the Gemara considers it a big tragedy.
Right.
and they used to fast. Used to be a fast day years ago before Asara B'Tevis. I think the 8th of Tevis, it was also a fast day. That was the day that they translated the Torah. I don't know.
So why did they need a translation in the first place? Didn't they already have this one?
By Talmud Melch. I don't know. He wanted in Greek. Probably Greek didn't exist in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. Talmud Melch wanted in Yevonis. Then the Gemara says they had to touch up a few psukim so you shouldn't misunderstand. So that was a tragedy. They were, in a certain sense, they were misrepresenting the Torah. It wasn't really misrepresentation, but they didn't give a literal, the few psukim, the Gemara said, they didn't give a literal translation. So the Gemara considered that day like a tragic day. The Torah Shebichsav was open for the public, for the non-Jews. Torah Shemalpeh, that's for everybody. On the pasuk Torah Tzivah Lana Moshe Merasha Kihilas Yankov in the end of Chumash Devarim, so the Sifrei tells an incident that once a farmer came to Reb Chiya's Beis Medrash and started screaming at Reb Chiya, you're a ganav, you stole my Yerusha. So he didn't know who the man was. Why did I steal Yerusha? So he says, it says in the Chumash Torah Tzivah Lana Merasha Kihilas Yankov, it's a Yerusha for all of us. Why did the Rabbanim steal the Torah? They're not stealing the Torah. They teach Torah in public. They want to encourage everyone to attend the public shiurim that they give. No one's stealing the Torah. Everyone should share in the limud Torah, but the shaila should be always gepaskin like by the big Talmid Chachamim. Everyone has a right to go to medical school, but you only give rishus when they're reish galusa. You have to have rishus to practice medicine. You have to be licensed a doctor, and then in order to be told leisham, you have to have special rishus for that. They don't give any Tom, Dick, and Harry a license to practice medicine just because he has a right to go to medical school. He has to pass the exam. He has to know his stuff. So the Paskin Shaila is whoever knows how to learn well is entitled to Paskin Shaila. The question, who is the one to determine who knows how to learn well? So everyone's going to decide on his own. I'm the world's biggest Talmud. Okay? So we know that that's a joke. You have next in the Chumash, you have the Parsha of the Brachas, the Kololos, the Hagrizim, and Harevol. And Rav Sadi Goen, I spoke about this a little bit yesterday, Rav Sadi Goen wrote a poem where he lists off all of the 613 mitzvahs in a poem form. So it's hard to figure out exactly. The Balei HaTeis also wrote Asharas. Asharas means piyutim that lists off all of the Taryag mitzvahs. Rabbi Natan's brother-in-law, Rabbi Elio, wrote Asharas. Such piyutim with the Taryag mitzvahs, they used to recite them on Shavuos in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, middle of Aseres HaDibros. They would rattle off all of the mitzvahs that are connected with the first of the Aseres HaDibros, then the second, then the third pasuk, and so on. So Rav Sadi Goen wrote this piyut that's 3-4 pages long, and then there was a balabas who had a shop, a store owner in Europe, Rabbi Yeruchim Perler, official Perler, who wrote a whole commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Rav Sadi Goen. He made it into a Sefer HaMitzvahs. He's the one he created the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Rav Sadi Goen. Till then, it was just a piyut where he rattled off the mitzvahs. And he explained which are the 613 mitzvahs, and why did he decide to count this, why didn't he decide to count that. He made three fat volumes on this, on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Rav Sadi Goen. Practically, yesh me'ay. The poem is a mamish nothing, 4 pages, and he wrote a whole three fat volumes to explain it. So he discusses this, why Rav Sadi Goen counts this as one of the 613 mitzvahs, which have the brachas, the glolos, the hagriz, maharevel. This was once in the history of the world. Do you count Maimon HaSinai as one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, that the Jews should attend Maimon HaSinai? That was a historical event once in the world. So why does he count brachas, the glolos, the hagriz, maharevel as one of the mitzvahs in the Torah? So Rabbi Yeruchim Perla, this Balabas, thinks that he probably means the mitzvah of Orvus. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin later, and the Mem is called Yisrael HaRevim, that this only began Mishaover Yisrael HaSayardin. What changed Mishaover Yisrael HaSayardin? No, what changed was when they accepted the Brachas HaKlolas at HaGrizim and HaRevim. So that's probably what Rabbi Yeruchim Perla means, that he counts that as a mitzvah, that we should all have the realization of Kol Yisrael HaRevim Zebizah. HaRevim Zebizah means both with respect to Averis and with respect to mitzvahs. That if one person does an aver and I have the ability to be moicha, if I just stand by and I'm not moicha, so I will be punished, I will be held responsible for the fact that he did an aver. Then with respect to mitzvahs also, there are certain mitzvahs that can only be fulfilled by Kohanim, certain mitzvahs can only be fulfilled by Yisraelim, certain mitzvahs only fulfilled by the melech, certain mitzvahs only fulfilled by the farmers. So who? How is it physically possible for anybody to observe all the 613 mitzvahs? He has to be a kohen and a zar and a melech and a farmer and everything at the same time. It's impossible. There is no such person. It's all together. So the answer is, whenever we perform a mitzvah, so very often people chassidim say, "Shemichu kodesh b'richu." Then you say, "B'shem kol Yisrael." You're doing the mitzvah on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael together. Some people daven every day. Some people give a lot of tzedakah every day. Some people, we hope that we would wish that everybody should daven every day, but that's not the case. So those who do daven, those who leg tefillin, those who keep Shabbat, those who give tzedakah, they give b'shem kol Yisrael. So all the Jews together fulfill all the 613 mitzvahs. So that's what he means. Kol Yisrael Arayim. The whole Kol Yisrael together is considered, treated as if it's one body, as if it's one entity, as if it's one unit. That's what the Gemara says, that the concept of a tzibur, that everybody blends in together to be considered one unit, only applies to Kol Yisrael. But the Umma Salim, there is no concept of a tzibur. Only by Yisrael, or B'nai Yisrael, there's a concept of a tzibur. Then you have Kol Yisrael Arayim, when you get to mitzvahs, the din is that Mishenim Chui B'Dovra and Emotios Arabim Medei Chayvosim, the Baal Tekeah on Rosh Hashanah has to be a man who's after Bar Mitzvah. If the best Baal Tekeah is a child before Bar Mitzvah, the best Baal Tekeah is a non-Jew or a woman who's not Mechuyiv in Tekeah Shofar. So even if the woman wants to, as an Eina Mitzvah V'yosef, she can blow Shofar, but she can't blow Shofar for the Shul, because she's not Mechuyiv B'Dovra, she can't be Emotios Arabim Medei Chayvosim. So what if a person already davened in shul on Rosh Hashanah morning, he was yotzei tekiah shofar, then he wants to go to the hospital, to old age home, to blow shofar for people who aren't able to attend in shul? So the Gemara says, that's fine. Yotza, moitze, even though I was already yotzei, I'm still considered a mechuyav b'dovar until everybody's yotzei. So that's, and Rashi and the Rishonim say, because kol Yisrael arayim mezeh b'zeh. So that's a very fascinating idea, that as long as there's one Jew left in the other end of the world somewhere, I live this side of the world. If there's one Jew left on the other end of the world who didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar yet, so it's considered as if I wasn't fully yotzei my mitzvah. I'm chayiv to blow shofar again. I'm chayiv to hear the shofar again if that'll help somebody else. I say, yeah, I'm still chayiv b'dovar. I have to blow shofar. It's not just I'm blowing for him. I'm blowing for him. I could have put earplugs in my ear. I wouldn't have to listen. No, the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva. He proves from the Gemara that you do have to hear it. When you blow shofar the second time, I'm blowing shofar for myself because I wasn't fully yotzei. As long as there's one Jew left who wasn't yet Yotzei Tekiah, I wasn't Yotzei then. And I'm chayiv to blow shofar if it'll help the other guy. It'll help the other guy, he'll be Yotzei, which I'm there, okay? He'll hear along with me, and he'll be Yotzei. So that's to the extent that we say, Kol Yisrael Arayim Mezeh B'Zeh. That people always think that it's only benegiah to being punished for averus, the other one does. But the Gemara says it's not. Even benegiah to mitzvahs. Even benegiah to mitzvahs also. As long as there's one Jew who didn't yet fulfill a mitzvah, it's considered as if I wasn't fully yotzei mitzvah.
What if the Baal Tekeah is only blowing for women, so they never had an obligation, so you'd say Arvus for them?
It's a good question. I don't know. It's a good question. We assume that there's no Arvus. That's why that's why you shouldn't say the bracha for them. Yeah, so why could it be Motzi then? Right. That's a very strong question. I don't know the answer, but that's the common practice is that they do it. So it's a question, what do you accomplish by that? Yeah.
Still have a mitzvah,
yeah. But if the Baal Tekeah is not mechuyav b'dovar, so how is he moitzi that? I mean, you only need mechuyav b'dovar if the people who want to be yotzi, I'm mechuyav. If the women want to be yotzi, maybe you don't need a mechuyav b'dovar to be moitzi. It's a good question, maybe that's the answer. But it's a very good question. I don't know. Yeah, what is the whole basis of the mitzvah of Havoaz Bikurim? We express our gratitude to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, you say. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole Yisrael of the mitzvah of HaKoras is HaKoras HaToiv. The Chayvus HaLvavus has a long arichas about the midah of HaKoras HaToiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kel mistater. He on purpose hides. That's how the Novi Yishai describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a kel mistater. He's hiding. And he does such a good job at hiding. There's so many people who don't even realize that he's there. They just don't believe that he's there. But he's right there. He's hiding. They don't see him. So it's very easy to forget about the Ribbono Shel'Olam. So many people have forgotten about him. So one of the ways to keep in mind that there is a Borei Olam in the world is to develop the midah of HaKoras HaToiv. He has so much to be grateful for to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for our life, for our health, for our parnasah, for everything, whatever happiness, whatever we have, is miyodo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the midah toiva of HaKoras HaToiv keeps the amuna within us. There's such a medrash. Mashgiach in the yeshiva, when I was a Talmud in high school in the yeshiva, the Mashgiach used to be a Bal Musa from Slabotka, Rabbi Lesson Zechanu Rach. So he always used to say over the medrash, it says that in the generation of the Dor HaFloge, they wanted to build the Migdol V'Rosh HaBashamayim to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So it says, V'yered Hashem Lirusas HaMigdol Shabonu B'nei HaOdom. So the Medrash says, of course, B'nei HaOdom, B'nei HaChamayim, what the behemoths build the Migdol. Should say HaShabonu. Lirusas HaMigdol HaShabonu. What is after HaShabonu B'nei HaOdom? So the Medrash interprets B'nei HaOdom, not the people. Medrash says it means the descendants of Adam HaRishon. Because Adam HaRishon was a Kofi Toivo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you ate from the Eitz Hadas. I told you not to eat. So he says, it's your fault. You gave me this miserable wife, and she's the one. It's not my fault. Her fault, it's your fault. You gave me a miserable wife. It's your fault. So Adam HaRishon was a Kofi Toivo. Because he was a Kofi Toivo, that's why it led to rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how there's another Medrash. There's another medrash that says, what do you mean lo yada es Yosef? He didn't know other people today who never heard of President Kennedy, never heard of President Roosevelt. They're presidents from 100 years ago that we never heard of. Okay, probably a lot of names I don't remember at all. But President Kennedy was just the president. President Roosevelt, he was just the president. President Truman, the recent presidents you do know. How can it be? Shalo yada es Yosef. He never heard of Yosef. Yosef saved the whole country. The answer is, Hashalei Yodas Yosef means he didn't have a feeling of gratitude. He didn't have a sense of Hakaras HaTayif to Yosef. So because it says, Hashalei Yodas Yosef, that's why when Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, Shalach HaSami V'Yavduni, so Parah says, Lo Yadayti Yas Hashem. The same expression, Lo Yodas Yosef, because he didn't have Hakaras HaTayif to Abbas of Adam, that led to being Kofi Toivet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if a person doesn't have a sense of HaKadosh HaTayif, so he'll lose his belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo yadayti es Hashem. Rav Soloveitchik once explained, there is a Gemara in Bava Kamma, the Gemara has a Malitza. Pidgam amami, an expression that people say that you go to a wedding and the Bali Simcha pay for all the food and they pay for the waiters and they pay tips to the waiter. Everything is covered, everything is paid for. And when the waiter pours you a cup of wine, so you say thank you to the waiter. That's the Gemara. Chamra lemora, the wine is paid for by the Bala Simcha. The Tivusa, the thank you is Lishakya, to the man is pouring the wine. Why does he deserve a thank you? The wine was paid for and his services, he got a salary and he got a tip. They always give a tip also. So why do you have to say thank you? The answer is, if you're not going to have truth in the matter is, let's say Mr. Joel pays me a salary. Where is he going to get in the whole wide world such a market share like me? He needs me more than I need him. He doesn't pay me enough salary. Why should I have HaKadosh Baruch Hu to him? And he'll have the same thing. What does he need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to me? He can shake out any apartment building in Washington Heights and get 25 Rosh Yeshiva. He doesn't need me. Everyone is going to have, I won't have HaKadosh Baruch Hu to my wife. I give her my paycheck. She uses all the money. She buys shoes and dresses and pocketbooks and buys everything. So I give her all the money. So why do I have to thank her for the supper? And what does she have to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu to me for? She does all the work. She does all the laundry. She raises all the children. She cooks all the food. She cleans the house. She does everything. So if you really make a cheshbon, no one's going to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu to anyone. No one will have a sense of gratitude. Everything is covered. The worker doesn't have to have a sense of gratitude for the boss. The boss doesn't have to have a sense of gratitude for the worker either. Everything is covered in this world. So the Gemara says, no, even though everything is paid for, everything is zetach hazeh, you have to have a sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because otherwise you lose your HaKadosh Baruch Hu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you lose your whole emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Rav Soloveitchik suggests that maybe that's pshat. There's a Gemara in the end of Brachas, where the Gemara discusses the text of the Bracha of Nishmas Kol Chai. We usually assume that Vilna Gaon says like this, the Chayyodin quotes the Vilna Gaon, that Nishmas Kol Chai is the beginning of the long Bracha, it ends off with Yishtabach. On the weekdays, the bracha begins Yishtabach Shimcha, and on Shabbos and Yontov, the bracha begins with Nishmas Kol Chai. So Nishmas Kol Chai, the Gemara says, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, we say, HaMuhulol B'Roiv HaTishbach. He is to be praised with Roiv of the Tishbach, most of the praises. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Most of the praises and not all the praises. he deserves all the praise, not just most. The Gemara says, yeah, you should. One Amar says, no, you should say, Amuholol batishbachos, Becholat tishbach, not Roiv. The Gemara says, it's a good idea. The Girsa of Chachmei Ashkenaz, there are two Girsas in Nishmas Kol Chai. Nusach Ashkenaz follows Rashi's Girsa, Nusach Svart follows Girsa Sagainim. So Nusach Ashkenaz in the Gemara, in the Siddur and Nishmas, in the Gemara is, Hilkach Nemrinu Litravai, we say both. So in the middle of Nishmas Kol Chai, we say, Hamuhlol Beroif HaTishbachas. Then at the end, at the Bracha of Yishtabach, that's the end of the Nishmas Kol Chai, you say, Melech Muhlol HaTishbachas, means all HaTishbachas. And the Nusach Svard is, that was their Girsa Nima. They don't have Hilkach Nemrinu Litravai, you should say both. No. Say Hamuhulol B'chol HaTishbachas, not B'raif HaTishbachas. Hamuhulol B'tishbachas, you don't say Raif HaTishbachas. Let's talk a question. Why should you say Hilkach Nemrinu Litravai? Why should you say both? It's not right. Why should the Rebbe Shlomo Malik deserves Raif HaTishbachas, but Kol HaTishbachas? So the Mohammed over there gives a pshad. He thinks that maybe Raif HaTishbachas does mean the majority, 51%. Again, Hoch Mamamun Achar HaRaif, Achar Ablahatas, does mean Raif. HaTishbachas in the sense of 51%, but rather means Ribui HaTishbachas. Rebbe Shlomo is to be praised with a multitude of Tishbachas. That's how the Ramban suggests and the Mohammed did. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe it means really Raif, maybe it means 51%. And we say both Nuschois and Nusar Hashkenaz. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want you to praise him 100% of all of Tishbachas. You have to be makat tovah to your boss, you have to be makat tovah to your spouse, you have to be makat tovah to your workers, you have to makat tovah to other people, even though you can make a calculation, why does he deserve a debt of gratitude? Where is he going to get such a good worker like me? He's underpaying me. I do such a good job. He's never going to get someone as good as me to do such a job for so low a salary. You shouldn't make such a calculation. You should always give tishbachas to basav adam, in order that you should not forget to have a sense of hakaras hatov to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You have to have, even though, logically speaking, maybe one could argue the point, no basav adam deserves tishbachas, because I do the work and he's paying me. He says, everything is zetachazeh. I give my wife my paychecks. Of course, you're going to do things zetachazeh. Everything is covered zetachazeh. But still, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want that we should praise him with all the tishbachas. He only wants to get raif ha-tishbachas, and the miyut tishbachas we should give to bnei yodam. I bet they don't deserve it. So it's like chamer lamar v'tivusa l'shaka. We thank the waiter when he gives us our portion. We thank the waiter when he pours the wine, even though he doesn't really deserve a thank you, because he's paid and the wine is paid for and he's being tipped and everything is covered. But still, you have to have Hakoras HaTayv to the boss of Adam. And if you don't have that Hakoras HaTayv, it's going to lead to a lack of Hakoras HaTayv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a lack of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So those are the Midrashim, that because Paro said, Lo Yadas Yosef, that led him to Lo Yadayti Es Hashem. And that's the Medrash, the Migdal Shebonim B'nei HaAdam, the descendants of Adam Rishon, who was a Kofi Taiva, the other ones that built the Migdal. That this Migdal Rav, Kfiyas HaTayv, is what led to the merit against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we have the list of the brachas to close that were recited at HaGrizim and HaReivo. So the last one, everyone, they said a bracha first, then they said a close. So they said, Baruch HaShayokim is Divrei HaTorah Zos, and Or HaShayokim is Divrei HaTorah Zos. What is that referring to? So the Yerushalmi has a comment, it's referring to the one who gets Hagbah. He has to hold the Torah properly. So the Ramban HaChumash writes, Taisus quotes that Yerushalmi, Taisus and Saita quotes that Yerushalmi. The Gemara Saita talks a lot about the brachas of Klolos at HaGrizim and HaReivim. So the Ramban HaChumash says that he thinks that's only an Asmachta. But still, the Gemara has a statement that from all the aliyahs, what's considered the best aliyah? So it says the one who does Hagoylul Notas Chakeneged Kulam. Days of the Gemara, they had one person who did Hagban Glila together. They didn't divide it up in two. And today, the one who gets Hagba is considered the best Aliyah. I remember years ago, when I was in high school, I used to learn in the summertime. I used to learn here in the winter. And in the summer, I studied the 3 summers in the Mir Yeshiva in Brooklyn. So the Rosh Yeshiva at that time was Rabbi Avram Kalmanovich. He used to call him the Rav. He was something like 6.5 feet tall, unless it was my imagination. He was very tall man. He had a very deep voice. So, 3 days a week, he got Hagba. because he was the Rosh Hashiva. Hagba is the best aliyah. That's how the Gemara says. So why is Hagba the best aliyah? It's a little unclear. So Rav Sol Reitzel suggested maybe because Hagba has a mokum and chumash. Baruch Hashayokim is the Ratara Zoy. So the Yerushalmi says it refers to Hagba. But the Ramban says that's only an asmachta. The real pshat in the pasuk Pshuta Shal Mikra is not talking about the one who's making this chiyesh Torah or fellas. Torah is falling. It goes that he should hold up the Torah properly. The Pshuta Shal Mikra goes if a person has the ability, a person is a melech, a person is a principal of a school and has the ability, a menahel in yeshiva, and has the ability to introduce more shmiras on mitzvahs and more liman Torah. So that's Baruch Hashayokim is Divrat Torah Zos, whoever has in his power. If someone has the ability to become, has leadership talents, and they become active in a kiruv organization, that's the Baruch Hashayokim is Divrat Torah Zos. That's what that concluding pasuk is talking about. Then right after the brachas, the close of the Hargrizim and Harevo, then we have the Toicheche, that it's that was the Krisas Bris and Arvas Moyav. That's the concluding pasuk. Ela Divra Bris, this brachas, the klolus, is the covenant that was entered upon right before the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ela Divra Bris, Hashem Shiva Hashem Es Moshe Lichris Es Bnei Yisrael Be'eretz Moyav. This is over and above. Mevan Habris Hashem Karasi Tom Dechorev at Har Sinai. The Toicheche in Bechud Kosai says Ela Divra Bris. This is the Krisas Bris that was entered upon between Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. And this second bris was entered into right before they entered Eretz Yisrael. The original bris was really with Yechidim. The bris at Har Sinai was really with Yechidim. And the tziruf, that Am Yisrael's mitzuruf yachad, the complete tziruf, only took place after they crossed over the Yarden. When they entered Eretz Yisrael, that's why Kol Yisrael Arim Zebazeh, they only became a tziruf together of the nation when they crossed over the Yarden. The nation has to have a national homeland. So the second kris is bris over here in Kisavai, is the bris that was made with Klal Yisrael as a nation. The first bris was made with the Yechidim. That's how the pasuk says in next week's Sedra. Lo yitchem levatchem enochi karis es habis hazos v'sa'ol hazos ki es ha'sheyeshtam pa v'es ha'sher enene pa imanu oimer hayon. The original bris was only with the Yechidim who were present at Har Sinai. And the second bris is ha'sher enene po, the Gemara says it refers to the Doros HaSidim Lovay, the future generations, when a country enters into an agreement, makes a treaty, so it's binding on all the future generations of that country, because it's made B'tarah's country. Al Pidin, there is no such thing. Al Pidin, only the Jewish people have the status of a tzibur. But that's the Minig Olam. That countries act as if they are a unit, and whenever they enter into a treaty, into an agreement, some international agreement, so they feel that it's binding for the Doros Haboyim.
Was this connected to the Hargrizim and Arevo? Like one
thing? Yeah. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Ribbono Shel Olam really wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to make the bris, because he was the Adon Hanavim. But he wanted the bris to be made in Eretz Yisrael, because only after you get a national homeland is there a tziruf of a nation together. But Moshe Rabbeinu was said he can't enter into Eretz Yisrael. So how can you do this? He wants to make the bris in Eretz Yisrael, because he needs a national homeland to have the tziruf, and wants Moshe Rabbeinu to make the bris. Moshe Rabbeinu can't cross over the yard. So he said, you do this, the bris, before you die, and your Talmud, Yeshua ben Nun, will finish it. You begin it, and Yeshua ben Nun will complete it. And that's really the Gemara of the same bris. The original bris was at Har Sinai. And then the second and the third bris, and the bris at Arvis Moav, and the bris at the Hagriz Maharevel, are really one and the same. That the Tchilos HaBris was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Gemara with Yeshua ben Nun in Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought.
All the neshamas of the Jews were Har Sinai.
The Gemara says all the neshamas were Har Sinai, but yeah, a bris is not binding on a neshama. This is only binding on a person. The Gemara says the fact that the neshamas were there had an effect on the neshamas, because there was a gilu shchina. Mantia yiras alfenechem levilti sachato. So it had an effect on the neshamas of all the doros haboyim. But legally binding, there should be a bris that's binding, is only with the people who were there. So then they had to make the second bris loitchem loatchem ala asher enenu poimanu amayam. This bris is going to be binding on the doros haboyim because it was made with the tzibur, with the nation as a nation. So the nation includes even all the doros hasidim levon. One of the psukim that we recite in the Yitmucha, those who say the Yitmucha, Amatzoy Shabbos, Baruch Atah B'Vayecha, Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha. What is that referring to? So the Gemara says in the end of Bava Metzia, Baruch Atah B'Vayecha, when you come into the world, Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha, when you die, when you leave the world. So the Gemara says, what it means is, Shatei Yitzioscha Men Oilam, Balochet, Kibioscha Loilam, just like when a person is born into the world. He has a clean slate. He didn't do any averis yet. He was just born. So to when he leaves the world, Baruch Atah B'Tzei Secha, you should have a clean soul when you leave, just like your soul was clean when you entered into the world. So the Rashash, who was the president of the Vilna Kehillah when the Vilna Shas was being printed, so they asked him if he wants to give something. They gave his Heoris, which are fantastic. The Rashash is fantastic. So the Rashash has a comment on that Gemara towards the end of Bava Metzia. Nikan Ktsas Stira Lebalei HaGilgal. This Gemara seems to contradict those who believe in the concept of Gilgal Neshamas. Gilgal Neshamas, there was in the days of the Ran on the Rif, days of the Ran, one of the Gedolei Hador at that time in Spain was Reb Chisdoy Kreskes. He's quoted once in a while, Meshitim Kobetzes. He wrote a Sefer on Amunah, on Hashkafa, or Hashem. Chisdoy Kreskes. He was considered the Gedolei Hador. So Reb Chisdoy Kreskes has in his Sefer, or Hashem, he discusses what we do believe in, then he says what we don't believe in, and then he has things that are not part of our religion, whether yes or no. What's the distance between the earth and the sun? That's not part of our religion. It's Lamala Lamari. That's a scientific piece of information. So he says Gilgal and Shamas is not part of our religion. Kenzain, yeah, Kenzain, no. It's not from the Kori Hamuna in the Jewish religion. Could be it is correct, could be it's not. So that's what the Rashash writes on this Gemara. What do you mean? Shitei Yitziyoscha min Olam could be Yoscha L'Olam. Just like when you were born, your soul was clear. You didn't have any sins yet. So when you die, you should have a clear soul. You shouldn't have any sins. What do you mean? But those who believe in Gilgal, so they say sometimes a soul has to come back to this world because the soul is tainted from a previous life and it's full of sins and he has to come back to be misakin something. So who says that Yoscha L'Olam was Baloichet? That's what the Rashash writes. Mikan Ktsas Stira. Seems to be a bit of a contradiction to those who believe in Gilgal. So the Hasidim boycott the Rashash because they're apikeres. He writes that he's not so convinced that there's such a thing as Gilgal Neshamas. No, no. It's like cutting off your nose to spite someone else. You don't need the Rashash. You're missing out a lot.
You say it refers to your
goof,
just like the book
came out. Right. He says it's a Ktsas Stira. Not necessarily a full Stira. But he said the simple meaning of the Gemara is that it's there. Seems to contradict those who believe in Gilgal Neshamas. Then you have the pasuk. You have first the brachas, then the klolos, and the brachas. The pasuk ends off with halachta bidrochav. The Gemara understands halachta bidrochav. Mahu rachum atofa, avada rachum uchanan apatochanan. We should go in the ways of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That's the question. Why should we go in the ways of Hakadosh Baruch Hu? A little child sometimes imitates a doctor. So he puts a stethoscope and he makes believe he's taking your heartbeat or your blood pressure, whatever. A little girl makes believe that she's a mommy, so she puts on a big hat and high heels and she screams at the younger children and she gives patch. That's the definition of mother, screams and gives patch. So one day the girl will be a mother, one day the boy may become a doctor. So we understand that he's imitating. Why should we imitate the ways of God? Why someday he may become God? Why he's thinking of retiring? So he needs someone. We should prepare to take over. Why should you do the halachta b'drachav? It doesn't make any sense. So the answer is, the Vilna Gaon is quoted in Aderes Eliyahu on the Pasuk. Mr. Joel mentioned it this Shabbos when he was speaking. So the Vilna Gaon is quoted in Aderes Eliyahu saying, on the next Pasuk, we should go in the ways of God to preserve the Tzelem Elokim that was instilled within all of us. When we were born, we were created with Tzelem Elokim. And they saw it created with Tzelem Elokim square. We have Bonim Lamach, means we have more Tzelem Elokim than Yom HaSalem have. So that's what it means. Go in the ways of Hashem to preserve your Tzelem Elokim that you have already. Ro Kalami Ha'aretz. And when all the nations of the world will see, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, that we have succeeded in preserving our Tzelem Elokim, that's what I mean. Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha. You have succeeded in preserving your Tzelem Elokim. We have an obligation to lead our lives in such a way to serve as an Or L'Goyim. That's what the Novi Yeshaya says a few times. Where did the Novi Yeshaya get this idea from? Got it from this pasuk. We're all Kalami Ha'aretz. Well, all the nations of the world will see that we act in a proper way and they'll understand they can do the same thing. They're also created by Tzelem Elokim. They will learn from us how to lead a life of Yerushalayim. That's what the Vilna Gaon says, Pshat in the Pasuk. The Gemara has the famous Drosh on the Pasuk, V'ro Kalami Ha'aretz, when all the nations of the world will see, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, that we're wearing Tefillin Shorosh, the Yorim in Mecca, they will be petrified from us. That's why the last Lubavitcher Rebbe had a whole mitzvah hatfilin. He had the Lubavitcher Chassidim encouraging the soldiers in the Israeli army they should wear tefillin every day. If they wear tefillin, so the enemies will be afraid of you. That's an additional level of interpretation. That's not the Pshuto Shal Mikro. So the Vilna Gaon said, this is the Pshuto. You should go in the ways of Hashem because you were all created with Tzelem Elokim. You should preserve that Tzelem Elokim. And we're supposed to serve as an Ola Goyim, not regarding Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha. These mitzvahs don't apply to the Umas Ola. Means we should serve as an Ola Goyim in the area of honesty and decency. We should have an honest Rosh HaMemshalah should be sitting in prison. We should have honest president of an Israel shouldn't be sitting in prison. Unfortunately, we should have honest Knesset. Unfortunately, so many of them are dishonest. We should have 9 Ari Miklot. What are you going to need 9 Ari Miklot? Love it. We're not going to have any murders. No. You should have 9 Ari Miklot to show a Medina should be set up in the proper way. You should have Ari Miklot to protect the people that killed B'Shoigig, even though they were involved in an accident. But it's only an accident, so they don't deserve the death penalty. You should have a judiciary system. You should have a court system all over Eretz Yisrael. We're supposed to be Or LaGoyim as far as these things are concerned, but Adam LaMokim and decency and honesty and integrity and so on. That's what it means. For all kalamans, all the nations of the world will see that we have succeeded in preserving our Tzelem Alekin, Kishem Hashem Nikra Lecha, the Yorim and Mecca that will learn from us how to act with the Yerushalayim. So the Rambam quotes this. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say that maybe this is one of the most important mitzvahs in the Torah, Halachta B'Drachot. The Rambam has in Hilchos Deis, we should imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not imitating someone whom we are not. We're preserving our Tzelem Elokim. That's what we have already. We should preserve that Tzelem Elokim. A very important mitzvah. And the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim and the Mishnah Torah as well that the Tanakh describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the whole world. It's not a 100% accurate description. We couldn't really understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts, but it's a description to explain to us how we, a lot of times, we describe, the Tanakh describes the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things in order that we should know how we should act. What's considered going the ways of Hashem? Like it says in the Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days, Vayom HaShvi, Shavas Vayinafash. The Rashi quotes from the Medrash, most of the Rashis are quoting from Tanoim or from the Midrashim. Rashi quotes over there also from the Medrash, Hichtev v'yatzmo menucha. Kadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, write down that I rested, I relaxed on Shabbat. What, he worked so hard all 6 days creating the world? He said, I want a world. The world came into existence. It just, Ratzon Hashem. Vasor mamas never heard of Maimah, doesn't mean, he said, just, he had a Ratzon and everything came into existence. So what do you have to relax for? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Hichtev v'yatzmo menucha, that we should know that that's one of the Darkei Hashem, and we should observe Shabbos every week. That's part of a halachta b'drachav. A lot of times, hichtiv v'yatzma, Kadosh Baruch Hu told the Nevi'im to write such a version in Nevi'im Uksuvim, write this, that people should understand that that's part of Tzelem Elokim, that's part of a halachta b'drachav. Then you have the Teuchecha. The Gemara has an agarata in Menachos that when Moshe Rabbeinu was on top of Har Sinai, Kadosh Baruch Hu was writing the Sefer Torah. It's an agarata. The Pashto says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't bring down the Sefer Torah from Har Sinai. He brought down the Luchas. The Gemara presents it as if Rabbi Moshe was sitting and writing a Sefer Torah in heaven, and then and he finished the whole Sefer Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, I'm ready to take it. Then Rabbi Moshe says, now I have to put in these little tagim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, what do you need the tchatchkalach for? It's good the way it is. I can read all the words. He says, no, there's going to be a Tana after many years, Rabbi Akiva, he's going to darshan all the tagim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, what is he going to say on the tagim? So Moshe Rabbeinu shows him a video of Rabbi Akiva giving a shiur. Fantastic shiur. Moshe Rabbeinu had a chalisha sadas. He didn't know what he was talking about. That's the third that you're giving me. Shabura deraisa, Shabura lav deraisa. It's giving a shiur on heavy duty halachas. Moshe Rabbeinu never heard of that. So he had a chalisha sadas, as if the Torah is going to be distorted over the generations, and this rabbi, Rabbi Akiva, is going to say things he never heard of. So someone asked Rabbi Akiva Shaila, so he said, that's halacha l'Moshe Messina. So Moshe Rabbeinu understood that everything that Rabbi Akiva is saying is all a development. Developed over the generations. And every din was based on a previous din, based on a previous din. Everything was given by Moshe Rabbeinu. And later, like if you had Euclid's geometry, so based on if you have a rigorous proof or a certain theorem, then you can have, you put together two theorems, you come up with a third theorem. Then you put that theorem together with another one. Keep on developing further, further, further. So if you would show Euclid a book on geometry today, he would say, has nothing to do with what I wrote. But if you sit him down for a couple of days and you show him, everything flows from the Euclidean geometry that he developed. You just put together this theorem with the other theorem, you're going to have a rigorous proof to prove that everything is true. So Rabbi Akiva was saying highfalutin Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that they changed the whole Torah. Then when Rabbi Akiva said, no, it's Halach Moshe Misinai, they understood that everything is based on what he said and everything is a development. So what's Taka with all of those drushes that Rabbi Akiva darshan from the Tagim? The Gemara never mentions any of them. We don't hold like those. But the Ribbono Shlom wanted to write Tagim in the Sefer Torah because that's Eilu Yeda Dibur L'Kim Chaim. That's another derech. It's another derech in learning Torah. That's a good derech, but we don't have that derech. We haven't followed that derech. The Ribbono Shlom dictated the Chumash in such a way that there should be more than one derech in approaching halacha. And over the years, we have accepted certain drachim and rejected other drachim. So there's a famous comment from one of the big Hasidish Rebbes. There's a passage in the Zohar which is problematic, that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. In fact, the Megala Mukas, who lived in the 1600s, big Kapala, big Mekubal, the name of the Sefer is Megala Mukas. So he said that's the name Yisrael, Yud Shin Reish Aleph Lamed. This is the Rashi Tevis, Yesh Yishim Riba Osiya Slatar. Based on this passage in the Zohar. The Zohar says like that, Zeran Shir Hashim. So the problem is they're much less. They're nowhere near Shishim Riba Osiya Slatar. So whatever it is, they give explanations how you look in the new editions of the Zohar. So they have in footnotes on the bottom of the page, they have long comments about that. How do they work out the Shishim Riba Osiya Slatar? What does it mean? That we daven every day in the Shemoneh Esrei, we're saying Chalkeinu Misar Asech, every Jew has a chelik in the Torah. So the Shishim Ribo Neshamas at Maimon HaSinai, so the Shishim Ribo Osiyas Latar, every Jew has a chelik in the Torah, when you say we're saying Chalkeinu Misar Asech. So the question is, well, what about non-Jews who convert? So they don't have a chelik in the Torah. So that's what one Chassidish Rebbe said, that's the Taich in the Pasach, Ager Shebikir B'cho Yav Alech Maila Moila, Rebbe Akiva was a descendant of Gerim, the Gemara says. The Gemara says when they deposed Rebbe Gamliel as a chief rabbi, so they were trying to decide whom should they appoint as the chief rabbi instead. So they said, they can't appoint Rebbe Yeshua, he was a bar klukta. It's because of Rebbe Yeshua that they fired Rebbe Gamliel. So that'll be too much of a slap in the face to Rebbe Gamliel. You can't appoint Rebbe Akiva, he doesn't have schusavis, he comes from converts, he comes from non-Jewish ancestry. Can't appoint this one, can't appoint that one. Each one had a reason why I can't. So they had a point, Rabbi Lozem and Azariah. He was Dor Asiri LeEzra. He was a tenth, he was a Kohen, he was a tenth generation from Ezra ben Achaben. So he had a lot of schusavis, so he wouldn't be punished because he's taking over Rabbi Gamliel's position. So that's what the Rabbi Hirsch has in one of his writings. Why did the Hashgacha see to it that the whole Torah Shavu'ah Ba'al Peh should go through Rabbi Akiva? The Gemara says that Stam Mishneh is Reb Meir, Stam Tosefta is Reb Nechemia, Stam Sifroa is Reb Yudah, Stam Sifrei is Reb Shimon, V'kulu Ali B'Reb Reb Akiva. Everything, the whole Talmidim of Reb Akiva, the whole Torah Shabbat went through Reb Akiva. Why through Reb Akiva? So Rabbi Hirsch has in one of his essays that the Jews were never known for Seder, for orderliness. And the Goyim excel in making Seder, putting things in a systematic order. So the Torah, the Hashgacha Man, the Torah Shabbat has to go through someone who has non-Jewish blood in his system, Rabbi Akiva, to put everything in order. Sounds very strange, but that's what he says. So the whole Torah Shabbat went through Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Akiva was from non-Jewish, from a convert. So where is his chelik in the Torah? So that's what they say, that's Rabbi Akiva, Darshan, the Tagim. Ager shebikir b'cho, yav alach ha-mayla mo'ila. The Gerim will work on the Tagim, on top of the letters. V'atun, the Jewish people, the Shishim Bibo, Terid Matamoti, the letters in the Sefer Torah belong to the Jewish people. The Shishim Riba Osiyas LaTorah, the Shishim Riba Neshamas, and the Gerim will work on the Torah. That's Chassidish Rebbe once said such a word. The idea is an important idea that we say in Chakenu Besarasecha that Tefila appears in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Every Jew has a chelik in Torah that's only given to him. That we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should be able to discover our chelik in the Torah. You have to live so long to discover which is your specific chelik in the Torah. So this is part of the Teichecha and the Chumash. Then you have the famous pasuk. All of these sufferings, all of this Teichecha is going to happen because Tachas Hashem La'avaratas Hashem Lakecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Le'Vav Ne'irov Kol. There are some people that keep all the mitzvahs, but they do it begrudgingly. They're in a miserable, sour attitude. They're always shaking. I have to do a Baruch Shalom's mitzvahs. They're going to burn again. Otherwise, the Baruch Shalom wants, we should do the mitzvahs. The simcha of tuv leiva of meirov kol. He's supposed to have the Rambam. Talks in the end of Hilchas Lulav. Talks about how important it is that we should have, we should do the mitzvahs in a, with a cheerful attitude. And he quotes this pasuk, we have to do mitzvah, b'simcha, b'tuvlev. If you do mitzvah, but it's not b'simcha, then we're going to have this suffering, we're going to have the whole techecha because of that. The Gemara Sanhedrin is going to talk about Dini Mammon, it's about Dini Nefashis, and he's going to talk a lot about Malkus as well. So one of the klolim in Malkus is, we had last week, you only give Malkus if the person violated an aver, which is similar to Lo Sachs Meshav B'dishai, because in Chumash Dvar, Midash and Smuchim. So the Hayon bin Hakos Harasha, the Pilasha Bekolafanov, Malkus appears the pasuk immediately preceding Losach Samshar B'Disha, Chumish Dvar Midash and Smuchim, as if it were a hekesh. Hekesh usually means if the two dinim are in the same pasuk. Here you have two dinim and two adjacent psukim. So in Chumish Dvarim we treat Smuchim as a hekesh. So the Gemara says that there are several exceptions to the rule. That even though you have a lav she'embo ma'isa, usually one of the klolim is a lav. We pass malav sheim ma'isa. It's not dumi the lav dechasima, so you don't get malchus. You have to have dafka lav sheish ma'isa. One of the exceptions to the rule is hamakal chaver b'shem. If you curse someone else, you're mentioning the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, how do you know that that's an exception to the rule? That despite the fact that it's a lav sheim ma'isa, nonetheless you loike. The Gemara says it's based on the pasuk. In the end of the Teichecha, Im lo sishmar liyira, Im lo sishmar lasas, kol dibat terazos, atzum esayf hazeh, liyira es Hashem hanichbad v'hanoira hazeh, eis Hashem alakecha. If you don't have respect and awe from Hashem Hashem, you use Hashem Hashem to curse someone with it, then hamakal chaver b'shem, then hifla Hashem es makoisko. Hifla Hashem makoisko means that you will deserve malchus. That's how the Gemara interprets. That's not the pshuto shal mikra, that's an additional level of interpretation. But it's based on that, that's the mokka, it's based on that, that the rivet is of the opinion that Makal Chaver B'Shem is only if he curses with the Shem HaMeforish. If he curses one of the Zayin Shemus, so that you would not be loike for that. You would not be loike, because it says, L'Sish L'Yiras Hashem HaNichbad V'HaNoira. Hashem HaNichbad V'HaNoira is only the Yud Kevavke, the Shem HaMeforish. Doesn't refer to all of the Zayin Shemus She'enim Chav. That's a chiddush of the rivet. So the Ravid explains this himself. Abdalbala Salvation didn't realize that the Ravid himself explains this. He has this in a sefer on the Rambam. The Ravid himself has it. They printed, you have comments of the Ravid on the riffs at the end of the Mitzvah. The Shita Mukobetzis in Bob Mitzvah quotes the Ravid. And in the end of Masech Shavuos, at the end of the riff on Masech Shavuos, in the back of the riff, they quote this whole Ravid that's quoted by the Shita Mukobetzis in Bob Mitzvah. So they have exactly the same explanation that Rabbi Elbal Masalvechik has in his Sefer. The Rabbi got it because this is the whole basis of that din. That there's Malkus from the Kalach Haber B'Shem because L'sish M'liyiras Hashem HaNichba B'Aner HaZeh, that's only referring to the Shem HaMfairosh. And the Teichecha also says HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish us with all kinds of punishments. Even sicknesses that don't appear in the Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring upon us. So everybody says that's in Pasuk Samach Aleph. Pasuk Samach Aleph here in chapter Chav Ches. So everybody always says over, there's a Maimer Chazal, Kam Kocholi V'chal Makar Shalok Kosam B'Sefer HaTerazos, that's Mises Tzadikim, when Tzadikim die. So the Reish HaRov has in his Sefer Avnei Chayfetz, he has a Shabbos Shavuos. Baron Levine was the Rav in Reisha. He was killed by the Nazis. He was a great goyim, a pope from the Polish goyim. Nat Lewin is a grandson. Nat Lewin, the famous lawyer, is a grandson of Baron Levine. So Baron Levine was a member of the Polish Parliament because he was a good. The Aguda was a political group, like Democrats and Republicans. In America, you have Democrats and Republicans. Now it's only have 25 parties. So in Poland also, before the war, they had a lot of parties. And Aguda was one of the parties, and Aguda had a representative in the Polish parliament, in the government. And it was, I think, a period of 2 years where they made a coalition government, and the Aguda was in the coalition government running Poland. Rabbi Tendler likes the joke. He said, that's why the Polish government collapsed, because the Aguda was running the government. Could be. Yeah. Could be that it's true. So the Reisha Rav, he was the Rav in Reisha. Reisha is a larger city in Poland. The airport is in Reisha. When I was touring in Poland, so we came back to America, we took the plane in Reisha. It's a 2x0. It's the size of this room, the whole airport. That's considered a big city. Yeah. So the Reisha Rav has in his tshuva sefer that there's no mocker. He thinks no mocker at all for this supposed Maimon Chazal. He's referring to Mises Tzaddikim, and he has a whole list of about 25 mamorim that are shigurim b'fi hakol that have no mocker in midrashim or anything. People made it up. That's one of them. Zul Mises Tzaddikim. Then Moshe Rabbeinu, as he's about to die, makes a statement at the end of Parshas Kisovo. V'lanosan Hashem lechem lev ladas v'naim leros v'naim leshmoya ad hayom hazeh. The Rebbe Shalom didn't give you understanding to understand the Torah till today. What does that mean? So the Gemara has a comment in Avodah Zarah in the first parak. Ein Adam Oymen Al Das Rabba Ad Lachar Abayim Shana. Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching the Jewish people 40 years already. Maimon Hasina was 40 years earlier. He's about to die now. The whole Sefer Dvarim is a few days before, a month before he's about to die. Moshe Rabbeinu died Zayin Adar, so this is all soon before he's about to die. So the Gemara makes such a statement. You don't really understand what the Rebbe said until after you think about it for 40 years. There are a lot of things I heard from Rav Soloveitchik Taka 40 years ago, and I thought they didn't make sense. And then after learning more for 40 years, I thought, oh, it's a Beferish HaMishnah. Oh, it's a Beferish HaPasuk. Sometimes it takes 40 years that things sink in and you put them into proper perspective. Then there are things that I thought, and Rabbi Soloveitchik said, I tuned off my hearing aid. I thought this absolutely doesn't make any sense at all. And I didn't even listen to what he said. And then later I found it's written in Svarim. I couldn't understand what the Svarim was saying. If I would have paid attention, I probably would understand what they're saying. So you should try to pay attention. Sometimes the Rebbe doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm not Rabbi Soloveitchik, but Rabbi Soloveitchik, he knew what he was talking about all the time. So the students didn't always understand. So you have to be patient, and sometimes it takes Araboim Shonim. That's why the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham shouldn't pass until he reaches the age of 40. The Tosafot says, but it's not the same. Well, he started learning when he was an infant. He should say he shouldn't pass on anything till he reaches 40 years after he learned Torah by his Rebbe, not age 40. So that's a problem. But that's how the Gemara says. Shouldn't pass until the age of 40. There's a Mishnah later in Sanhedrin about a Zokhan Mamre. Zokhan Mamre, the Talmud Chacham who paskins against the psak of the Bez Nagadol is Chayiv Misa. So the Mishnah has on the bottom line on Pei Vav on the base. So the Mishnah says Talmud Shohoira Lasa's Potter. Let's say he's a Bacher, a Talmud who learns in Yeshiva, and he paskins against the Bez Nagadol. So no one's going to listen to him anyway. They listen to Rabbanim. So it's a bigger chutzpah. It's a bigger chutzpah that the Talmud publicly makes a statement against the Bez Nagadol. The Mishnah says, Nimtza Chumra Kuloi. The fact that he had more chutzpah, a big Talmud Chachma knows how to learn, and he paskins against Bez Nagadol. He's not allowed to, but he's a big Talmud Chacham. So that's not as big as not a great Aveira as a Talmud who paskins against Bez Nagadol. It's a chutzpah that he says anything. So because it's Nimtza Chumra Kuloi, because he had more chutzpah, so he's not chayv misa mitam zakamam. Zakamam is only if you are chacham sheigir lo hayroa, and people are going to listen to your psak and you paskan against Bez Nagadol, then you're chayv misa. Talmud shelo higir lo hayroa, no one's going to listen to him anyway. So when are you called the Talmud and when are you called the chacham sheigir lo hayroa? So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, age 40, before the age of 40. On the side of the Gemara, says, Soita davcha beit. Okay. So Saito also, Saito Davcha Beis, that before the age of 40 you're not allowed to paskin. Moshe Feinstein has the first letter in Chelek HaShemishpot, in the first Chelek HaShemishpot, was a letter that he sent to the one who was then the chief rabbi Herzog. After Rav Kook, was Rav Herzog was the chief rabbi, he's a big Talmid Chacham. So he made a statement that Rav Moshe was very upset about. The Maskilim, that because the Shem Maskilim used to say that kind of shtick. We'll learn the Gemara in the first parak, we'll talk about it. Rav Moshe was very upset. So he wrote to Rav Moshe, wrote him a very nasty letter. He used to have a Rebbe here in Yeshiva, Rabbi Nissen Alpert. So he says he saw the letter, the original text of the letter. He says it was worse, than, it's sharper than the way it's printed. Rav Moshe toned it down when he printed it in the Sefer. But the original letter, the letter that he sent to Rav Herzog was more abusive than the way it's printed. So in the middle of that letter, he discusses this Rashi. So he says, this Rashi is difficult because the Gemara says there, in Avodah Zarah, in the Saito, if you are the only one in town, then you can paskin even before the age of 40. If there are other Talmid Chacham over 40, so then you shouldn't paskin. Let them paskin. So it's not an absolute rule. So how can you say that that's what the Mishnah means? If you're younger than 40, you're not chai. Sometimes you are allowed to paskin even though you're younger than 40. So that's the Rav Moshe thinks that's what led the Rambam to interpret the Mishnah differently. Talmid Shubahigil Ha'ro means he doesn't have smicha. Because the Rambam Shita is, we said a little bit about the Rambam Shita is that smicha is not a din in Bezen, smicha is a din in Ha'ro. If a person doesn't have smicha today, nobody has any smicha. So we're going to see the Gemara says all the smicha today is only a smicha mid Rabbanon. Talmud al Yom came not to be shuz mi Rabbi. That's the next Gemara in Dalet on the base. But the real bona fide smicha that they used to have is Man al Gemara that ended in the days of the Amoraim. So the real smicha, so that's a fundamental machlekes. Rashi and Taisa hold that that's a din of bezin. They constitute a bezin. The members have to have smicha. And the Rambam holds it's not a din of bezin. It's a din of psak, a din in hayroa. If a Talmid Chacham gives a psak and he doesn't have smicha, it's like he's just showing you here. Look in the Mishnah Brura. Look in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. This is what it says over here. But it's not called that he gave a psak. It's only considered a psak if he has smicha. So that's how the Rambam reads the Mishnah. Talmid and not chayiv. Talmid shahar alas is potter. Talmid means he doesn't have smicha, and a chacham shigiyolar means that he does have smicha. But that Rashi says age 40. That's based on this pasuk. In the end of today's sedra, Ne'osan l'shaim achem leiv l'adas v'nayim l'oraz azayim l'shma adayim azeh. The Gemara says, Ein on the moment, al das rabbi, alach rabboim shona. The Gemara has a din that one who's observing avelus is not allowed to wear leather shoes. One of the dinim of avelus. Ayim kippah, we don't observe avelus. You're not allowed to wear shoes. It's a different din. It's chamisha inuim. But that's not me. We don't observe Avelus on Yom Kippur. It's a separate halacha. So Gemara has a din when the Bezin puts someone in Cherem. So Cherem is really a curse that the person should drop dead. The Gemara says Cherem is a curse that's nichnas into the Ramach Ivorim. Ches Reish Mem is the same letters as Ramach. It's a curse that the person should drop dead. If the person improves his ways and he requests of the Bezin, they should remove the curse. There's such a concept of Hataras Acherim, that's like a Tchias HaMeisim. The one who's in Cherim is considered in a certain sense a Gavre Ketila. So Gemara says, one who was put in Cherim, a Nidui Nid, there's a lighter form of Cherim. There's a Machlek, there's a Rishonim, but the three forms of Cherim are only two. Is Nid the Cherim and Shamta, or do you say only Nid and Cherim? And Cherim is the same thing as Shamta. Many assume that the three, the Pasuk says, Peretz Geder, Yishachenu Nochash. If you break down the fence, you may be bitten by the snake who's going to come in from outside. So the Gemara uses that pasuk in the sense parids geder. One is parids geder. One who violates averis. One who violates asay siog latar. Siog means make a geder. The chachamim make a siog latar. One who violates a din rabbanon will be yishachenu nochash. He will be bitten by the rabbinical snake. Who's the rabbinical snake? Nochash is a rashitev. Is nida cherem shamto. Zeres nachash. When the Rishonim wanted to put someone in Cherem, and Nidu, or Shamta, they assumed that those who said like this assumed that three different things, Nidu, Cherem, Shamta. Or they say there are only two, there's Nidu and Cherem, Cherem is the same as Shamta. But they would put the person in Cherem. So Cherem is a curse, the person should drop dead. And then when you matter the Cherem, it's like an act of Chiyas HaMeisim. So one who's in Cherem has to observe Avelus on himself. Unusual concept, because he's responsible for the bezin putting him in cherem. They gave him a curse; he should drop dead. So he observes avelus on himself. So it's not a full avelus, only partial. So the Gemara says, which laws of shiva, which laws of avelus does the person observe, which not? The Gemara has a shaila whether one who's in cherem wears tefillin or not. Oval Yom Rishon is not allowed to wear tefillin. What about one is in Cherem? So the Gemara says they put Reb Lezer in Cherem. Reb Lezer was wearing tefillin. So they said, why don't they quote from that story? You see, the Reb Lezer was in Cherem and he did wear tefillin. So some say it's not really true. They took a netter to treat Reb Lezer as if they put him in Cherem. They never really put him in Cherem. It's a whole discussion. So the Gemara has a discussion in the third perek in Maseches Ma'akot, perek Ele Megalchin. The Gemara talks about all the laws of Avelus and to what extent does the person in Nidui have to observe Avelus. The Gemara has a suffix. One is in Nidui. Does he have the prohibition of wearing leather shoes or not? Is he also B'nilu Sassam? So the Gemara says, Toshma, why can't you prove in the Pasuk? It is Na'al Cholet Bosom, the Arag Lecha, they were wearing shoes in the Midbar. Kol HaBoim Shana Shaisol Bamidbar, they were considered as Menudim, Bamokan. There's Menudah Lamokam, the Bezun Shalmaila treats the Jews as in Nidui, and the Bezun Shalmata puts in Nidui. So the Gemara is not sure whether the Nidui of the Bezun Shalmaila is Mochomer or less Chomer. The Gemara goes back and forth. They're not sure about that. So the Gemara says, why don't you, can't you tell from this pasuk, Nalcha Lavosam Arag Lecha, you see that they wore shoes in the Midbar. So does not indicate that one is in need is allowed to wear shoes. So the answer is, could be that Menudah L'Shamayim shiny. Maybe Menudah L'Bezen is not allowed to wear shoes, only Menudah L'Shamayim is allowed to wear shoes. That's part of the discussion that the Gemara has in the third parak. To what extent does the Menudah have to observe Avelus? Then we have another one of the Haftoris of the Shev Dinechemta, the seven Haftoris. And the concluding pasuk, the two words at the end of the concluding pasuk are very famous. The pasuk says, "Be'ito achishen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be'ito be'ito." There's a gula be'ito when it's ripe, when the time comes. And achishen means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hasten the gula. So the Gemara says, "There are two mahalchen. The gula may come achishena. If we will be zeicha, the gula will be achishena. And if we won't be zeicha, the gula will be be'ito. It will come in its own time." Gemara says in the third, in the last parak in Sanhedrin, parak Chelik, Gemara has a lot about Bias HaMashiach. So the Gemara says one pasuk describes Mashiach coming on a donkey. Oni b'roichel al chamor, humble. Oni means onov, roichel al chamor, riding on a donkey. Donkeys are known for their slow. They schlep along. And then the other pasuk describes Mashiach, Melech HaMashiach coming. V'oru b'anoni shemaya, and behold. The clouds go very quickly. By us, it looks like they're going slowly, but they're going many miles an hour. The clouds are going very fast. The Gemara says, which is it? Is the Mashiach coming in a very rapid pace, or is it coming very slowly? The Gemara says, the steer between the two psukim and Navi is the Navi himself says, sometimes Bita, sometimes Lachishenu. The Gemara has a tradition that the Benisim, Nigula, Benisim, Asidim, Lehigual, the Gula will take place in the month of Nisan. So how can it be Be'ito Achishena? Well, what's it going to be Achishena? So if it's going to be Nisan, it's going to be Nisan. So you say, Nisan of which year? This year, next year, the year after, the year after. Maybe it will be Nisan. They say, I think from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnethal, that if it'll be Achishena, then it'll only be one other that year. If it'll be Be'ito, it'll be other Shena. That's a joke. That's what it means. 1 month difference. Be'ito Achishena means 1 month difference. Pashto says that's a joke. Pashto says that it doesn't mean that. But it says, Benisim Nasidim Lehigo, Benisim Nigalu, Poshib Shat Nigamara, the Ramban Achumish writes that the Geula, the term Geula refers to the building of Beis HaMikdash. Benisim Nigalu doesn't refer to Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim Gyaltanu, that really, Benisim Nigalu, the Geula was when they built the Beis HaMikdash. Ramban says, the Geula, you don't get to the Geula till you get to the end of Chumash Mos. If they read Shumad Ritzaba by Yaakov Pikud, they built the Mishkan, that was the Gula, they had Hashuas Hashchina, that was Geula. So Benis and Nigula refers to the Binyan HaMishkan took place. The Chanukas HaMishkan, the Shmini Limiluim was Rosh Chodesh Benisim. Benis and Asirim Legal means the Bais HaShlishi will be open for Hakrovas HaKrabonis. It says on Rosh Chodesh Nisim. It doesn't say which year, but it says in the end of Yecheskel that it's going to be, that's the Haftarah of Shabbat HaGadol, I think. No. Haftarah of, I forgot which one. One and a half Torahs. It says that the first Karbonis will be brought on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, whatever year it doesn't say. But does it? The Pashtus, it doesn't mean Achishana, means a difference of 1 month. That's a pshat. Okay. I apologize for having to give the shiur early today. I'm supposed to give the shiur soon now, so I'm going to have a pause in the shiur. So what the shiur on Sunday is normal? I think. What time is normal? 11:30. I already forgot what's normal. Good.
There you go. Bring your ass and maybe sign this and I'll tell you to come.
Eddie, same day.
Some people
save it for the last
time. We're going to have to use your.